The G.I. Journal goes to press.
The G.I. Journal. It's the G.I. Journal.
Yes, sir, it's the G.I. Journal again, your radio newspaper of the AEF, the paper that prints the best jokes and poems sent in by you men overseas. Well, men, we're in the city room of the old G.I. Journal once again. As everyone knows, Hollywood is full of wolves. But our editor-in-chief for this edition is a real wolf. Here's a man who goes into a restaurant and orders a waitress. Jack Carson.
Hiya, man.
Hiya!
Thank you, Harry Mitchell, but I want to straighten out one thing right away. I am not a wolf. Why, Betty Grable walks past my house every day, but do I ever come out and whistle at her? No, I'm too much of a gentleman. Besides, I'm afraid Harry James might beat my brains out. Anyway, fellas, it's a pleasure to set up type in G.I. Journal again. And helping with the editorials for this edition will be Ransom Sherman, poetry editor and gossip columnist, luscious Linda Darnell, who just returned from a trip overseas where she helped increase G.I. Journal circulation, to say nothing of the boys. And last but not least, the one and only Jimmy Durante, the man who put the Kleenex people where they are today, single-nosedly. But first, let's ink up the rollers for our weather forecast. It's Tommy Dorsey's orchestra and the Sentimentalists predicting a heat wave.
A heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising and it's surprising. She really can dance, yeah, man. She started a heat wave by letting her feet wave. And in such a way that the customers say that she really can dance, yeah, man. She wait until you see how the mercury jumps up to 93. Yes, sir, yes, sirree. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She really can dance, yeah, man, yeah, man.
Chief?
Well, Ransom Sherman, our Hollywood gossip columnist. How are things, Ransom Sherman?
Oh, Chief, I've got the greatest scoop for my Hollywood gossip column that has ever been landed.
What is it?
I found out why Veronica Lake combs her hair over one eye.
No.
Let's hear it.
Well, you sure we're alone?
Oh, sure, sure.
You don't think anyone's listening at the keyhole?
No, no, no. Go ahead.
Well, I found out that Veronica Lake combs her hair that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because she likes it.
Boy, well, Winch will be jealous of that scoop.
And that isn't all the dirt I've collected.
I can see
gossip
that.
Items. Gossip items are pouring in so fast, they're piled all over my desk.
You got a bottleneck.
I know. It comes in handy for looking over transoms, though.
Well, what's new around Hollywood this week, Rance?
Chief, the big studios are cutting down on production costs for all their latest pictures. Everything has been cut down to the bone.
Sounds like a big year for Sinatra.
Well, what I...
Loused it up. Why now? I loused it up.
What I mean, Chief, is that they're not spending money lavishly like they used to. Did you see the $1 million production Passage to Marseille?
Yes.
Well, The sequel to it is going to cost practically nothing.
What's it called?
Hitchhike to San Luis Obispo.
But look, Ranch, the Hollywood gossip our readers really want to hear is the love lives of the stars.
Sure.
Haven't you got anything on romance?
Oh, sure, indeed I have. Chiefy, a choice morsel, was there ever if one. I have learned exclusively that Lassie, the wonder dog, is secretly going steady.
Lassie has a boyfriend? Gad, what a scoop. How do you know?
This morning she came home with a strange flea.
Boy, what a story. Now if we could just land one about Gene Autry's horse.
Oh, I have one of those too, Chief. And don't think it was easy to get.
Right up, boy, Rance. Sure. I knew I could trust you to smell out a story. Let's have the details.
Well, Gene Autry's horse has fallen in love with a pretty young thing owned by Bing Crosby. She's a filly named Lily. Silly, but a dilly, and really a thrilly. She wants him to propose, but will he?
Well, do you think he will?
Yes. However, I predict that when he does, her answer will be nay. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Rance. I guess you better take a powder now, though. I'm expecting a man in to apply for a job.
Well, what sort of a job, Chiefy?
Well, I figure G.I. Journal needs a touch of class, so I'm going to hire a male fashion expert, Rance.
Good.
Our readers want to know what the well-dressed man is wearing.
Oh, sure. Every G.I. is vitally interested in that.
That's what I think, and that's why I'm getting the greatest authority on men's clothes in America. That's him now. Beat it, Rance. Come in.
Good day, Mr. Carson. I'm punctual, I trust.
Why, Jimmy Durante, don't tell me that you're the fashion expert I sent for.
My dear man, do I detest the note of mockery and disdain emanating from your adnerves? I pronounced every one of them. Didn't miss one. If you have any innuendos, keep them to yourself.
Why, I wouldn't insult you for the world, Jimmy. It's just that I thought a fashion expert would look a little bit more like Lucius Beebe and a little less like, well, shall we say, a bum.
I accept your apology.
Thank you. You see, I thought you'd be attired in the very height of fashion. Why don't you dress like the pictures in Esquire?
I tried that once and I almost froze to death.
I see. Well, I still wasn't quite prepared for that outfit you have on.
And what, pray, is wrong with these habiliments? H-A-B-I-L-A-M-E-N-T-S?
Yes, that's right.
I admit they are in a slight state of disarray, but that is merely because I slept last night on a... Who wrote this script, George Bernard Schwartz?
You slept where?
That is merely because I slept last night on a chandelier.
A chandelier? How did you get way up there?
I was that high when I came in.
Oh,
I...
Now I understand why you look so rugged.
Precisely. Ah, me, it's been a hectic day. I didn't even have time enough to procure a flower for my buttonhole this morning.
What a shame.
Yes, without a chrysanthemum in my lapel, I feel practically naked. Oh, how I do adore the scent of a lovely chrysanthemum.
Well, Jimmy, a chrysanthemum has a very slight odor, Jimmy.
With a nose like mine, a very slight odor indeed. And wait, let me read that line again.
It's better the other way.
With a nose like mine, a very slight odor is ample. However we dilly when we should be dallying, let's talk about this job. Is you is or is you ain't my employer?
Well, okay, Jimmy, you can have the job.
Fine, I'll get right to work. If you'll be so kind as to place a secretary on my lap.
But, Jimmy, you haven't got a secretary.
I haven't?
No.
Well, then take an ad. Wanted a female. Would prefer one that is rich, 21 and brunette. However, if she is a genuine female, she can be poor, 48 and bald-headed.
And while we're waiting for an answer to that, Jimmy, the musical linotypes are all set to click off a tune for the gang at APO 942. Bob Allen sings Indian Summer.
island in summer. You're the tear that comes after Juneteenth laughter. You see so many dreams that don't come true. Dreams we fashioned when summer time was new. You are here to watch over some heart that is broken by a word that somebody left unspoken. You're the ghost of a romance in June, going astray, fading too soon. That's why I say farewell to you, Indian summer.
Jack.
Well, Linda, Linda Darnell. Well, welcome home to GI Journal, Linda. Gee, it's good to see you again after all these weeks.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
Oh, that same wonderful personality, that same sweet smile. You haven't changed a bit, Linda.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
And your figure, it's so, so...
You haven't changed a bit either, Jack.
Of course, I am a little disappointed, Linda. Most people, most of the time, when they haven't seen most people for a long time, give most people a big kiss. Most people do. At least most people do where I come from in Wisconsin.
Really?
Yes, yes.
They make cheese there, too, don't they?
Yeah. Now, Linda, don't get the wrong idea. I feel towards you, well, sort of like a brother. Well, no, not exactly like a brother. More like an uncle. No, not an uncle either. More like a second cousin. You know what I mean, a wolf. Tell me, Linda, how was your trip? Wonderful?
Oh, yes. It was simply marvelous, Jack. Oh, that wonderful trip home on the boat. And those starry, moonlit nights. That warm Gulf breeze. The copper and golden blend of a tropic sunset. Isn't nature wonderful, Jack?
Yeah. You know, I love boats. They're so graceful, so, well, feminine.
You really think so?
Oh, yes. In fact, I've always thought of women as if they were boats. Of course, on some the paint's a little cracked. And on others, the cargo has shifted. But Linda, you're one of the prettiest little destroyers I've ever seen.
Oh, Jack, do you mean that you actually think of me as a boat?
Uh-huh. Please, Linda, can I be your barnacle?
No! Oh, Jack, be serious.
I am serious. Look, Linda, let's pretend you and I are two boats out in the ocean. I'm a man boat and you're a lady boat, huh?
That's so silly.
Oh, come on. I'm a great big liner sailing along the ocean. Here I come. Gee, it's lonely on the ocean. Here I am all steamed up and no place to blow. Tickling me. I must have an eel on my keel. comes a lady boat, and is she a beauty? What a forecastle. Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! Hey!
I don't know you. On your way, Tub.
Oh, sure. You know me, honey. Don't you remember we used to go to the same shipyard together?
I don't remember anything of the kind, and I'll thank you to close your big old hatch.
Oh, don't be that way. If you sailed a little closer, you might like me.
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, try it. Come on. Come on alongside. Let's rub lifeboats.
I will, now that I get a better look at you. Maybe you're not so bad at that. Say, you know, you might be kind of cute if you had your deck swabbed.
Gee, I'm glad you feel that way. Do you think that someday maybe you and I...
Say, Chief, I just... Oh, pardon me.
Jimmy, please, I was just about to propose.
Well, don't mind me. Go right ahead.
Okay. Linda, my graceful little craft, will you... Wait a minute, wait till I get down on one funnel.
This I gotta see.
You heard that joke before, I know. Linda, my little craft, let's sail life's seas together, in fair weather or foul, in zephyr or typhoon. Even when I get old and I'm a dry dock, you'll be at my side to hold my anchor while I'm getting my hull scraped.
Oh, that'll be lovely, darling.
Please say you'll be mine, sweetheart. We'll be so happy. And who knows, in a year or two, we might hear the pitter-patter of little P.T. boats. Darling, will you be mine?
Dearest, you know I will.
I now pronounce you barge and dinghy. That'll be 2 clams, please.
Some people just have no souls, but for the benefit of those who have a little... But for the benefit of those who have, a little music is in order. So let's turn to our weekly pin-up page where we find Ella Mae Morse ready and waiting with a bright new ditty, Patty Cake Man.
This is the story of a baker who was a solid lovemaker. That made with the eyes at the chicks every night. But right in the middle of his pitching, he's got to hurry to the kitchen to make with the cakes before the dawn's early light. Oh, you should see the face of each pretty lass when he starts a cooking with gas. Patty cake, baker's man. Take it all you love on the installment plan. Stop to bake a patty cake in the pan. Brrr, kaki toko popo patty cake man. Patty cake, baker's man. 12 o'clock and that's the time for you to scram. Stop to bake a patty cake in the pan. Brrr, kaki toko popo patty cake man. Midnight's just the time for love, yet you have to scoot. But I don't mind being left behind because you're so cute. And zoot to boot, patty cake, baker's man. Bake it and make it all the dough you can. You never baked a wedding cake in the pan. Brrr, kaki toko popo patty cake man. Midnight's just the time for love, yet you have to scoot. But I don't mind being left behind because you're so cute. And zoot to boot, patty cake, baker's man. Baking and making all the dough you can. You never baked a wedding cake in the pan. Brrr, kaki toko popo. You're just a patty cake man.
buzz me, boss?
Yes, Jimmy. I wanted to find out if you finished your column and what the well-dressed man is wearing.
It's practically done, boss. I've just compiled a mass of data from hitter intents, which will throw a bombshell into the sartorial world. Ask me anything at all about men's attire.
Okay, let's start with pants. To be correct in society, how should they be worn?
On.
I see.
And to be on the safe side, they should be worn in conjunction with a belt or suspenders.
Mm-hmm.
Except, of course, in the case of Edwin Arnold, where they are unnecessary because of the nature of the terrain.
Jimmy, maybe you could simplify this column for our readers if you describe just the way you get dressed in the morning.
A good idea. Well, first of all, there's my unmentionables.
Your unmentionables?
Yeah, my family. They wake me up.
Oh. Then what?
Now, of course, I take off my pajamas.
Oh, you wear pajamas?
That's the only way I can take them off, isn't it?
I meant, do you prefer pajamas to a nightshirt?
Well, now, that embraces three schools of thought. Some prefer pajamas and some prefer a nightshirt. But with men who know sleeping best, it's nothing. 2-1.
Okay, now you're ready to start your dressing, right?
Right. First of all, of course, I put on my dainty undergarments. And what a creation. Soft brocaded silk with cerise hem stitching and bordered with crocheted forget-me-nots.
You wear shorts like that?
Yeah, I can't stand the sissy kind.
Jimmy, I'm surprised at you wearing things like that. Brocaded silk with cerise hem stitching. Say, do you think they make them my size?
Have a sight, Levi, boy. However, I might add a little sartorial tip. Shorts are being worn much longer this year.
Naturally, with the laundry situation what it is.
A delightful quib, Mr. Carson, from which radio will doubtless never recover. However, to return to the saga of Jimmy the well-dressed man, it is now time to choose my suit for the day.
You have a great many to choose from, I suppose.
Oh, unequivocally. I have outdoor garb, indoor garb, sport garb, morning, afternoon, and formal garb. In fact, I got closets full of garbage.
Yeah. I'll bet you're a dazzling sight when you step out of an evening.
Every evening, I array myself in my tails and top hat, put on my white kid gloves, throw on my opera cape, put a dash of Chanel No. 5 behind the ears, and set off for the opera.
The opera, eh?
Naturally. Once arrived there, I dismiss my carriage, enter the opera house, remove my top hat, my white kid gloves, and my opera cape, lay out my towels, and open the washroom for business.
We'll be right back. Hello.
You must be the sad sack. Well, my name is...
Don't tell me, I know. You're Ronald Cole. You're Kerry Carrigie. You're Tyrone. Who cares anyway?
What's the matter, Sack? Something wrong?
Yeah, I haven't been myself lately, Mr. Carson. I got girl trouble.
Girl trouble, eh?
Yeah, I can't get one.
No wonder you can't get a girl. Look at that suit you're wearing. You put your clothes on in the usual manner, or do they fire them at you out of a bazooka? What are those two strings running down your arm?
Oh, they're to hold my mittens on. And I got the two more running down to my shoes, and then another one that goes up to my hat.
Good gosh. All those strings, you're practically a jumping jack.
Yeah, I know it. Yesterday, I tipped my hat to a lady, and I shinnied up a telegraph pole.
What's on tap for the letters to the editor this week, Linda?
Well, Jack, here's one that's really well worth reading. It's from a glider pilot stationed in England, and I quote, "I'd like to put a plug in for the GIs in the airborne infantry. These infantrymen do all their fighting in the enemy's backyard, and they're all members of the regular ground troops. The only difference is that they get there in gliders and transports. Now, they have to be able to do everything a foot soldier can do, plus a lot of extra airborne tactics. Speedy, rugged, and smart, these men refuse to take a backseat to any other fighting outfit anywhere. So how's about a little nod to the flying bayonet fighters who glide and parachute in to spearhead the attack?" End of quote.
Oh, that's a swell letter, all right. Those airborne men really deserve all the credit we can give them. They're doing a terrific job. Look, man, give your unit a boost. Write in and tell us what they're doing, and we'll print it up for you here in the old paper. Address GI Journal, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And that's about 30 for now, men. But I'll be back wearing the editor's eye shade very soon. In the meantime, lots of luck to you all. This is Jack Carson speaking for all the gang and saying so long.
Now, don't forget, men, if you want to write for such stars as Jack, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Kay Kaiser, Jimmy Durante, or Linda Darnell, all you have to do is send in any gag that you think will fit them, and believe me, we'll use it. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.